Unfortunately, we fixated upon Sadeus's plotting so much that we did not take note of the changed pattern of our enemies, the murderers of my husband, the true danger. I would like to know what wind brought about their sudden, inexplicable transformation.
From the Journal of Navani Kolin, Yesesak, 1174. Kaladin pressed the stone against the wall of the chasm, and it stuck there.
All right.
Throck jumped up and grabbed it, then dangled from the wall, bending legs below.
This time he holds me!
Sigzil made a notation on his ledger.
Good. Keep hanging on, Rock.
Well, how long?
Until you fall.
Until I do not like this experiment any longer.
No, don't whine. You're not dropping far.
It is not the drop. It is my arms. I am big man, you see.
So it's a good thing you have big arms to hold you.
It does not work that way, I think. The handhold is not good, and I...
The stone popped free, and Rock fell downward. Kaladin grabbed his arm, steadying him as he caught himself.
20 seconds. Not very long.
I warned you. It lasts longer if I use more stormlight.
I think we need a baseline.
Sigzil fished in his pocket and pulled out a glowing diamond chip, the smallest denomination of sphere.
Take all of the stormlight from this, put it into the stone, then we'll hang Rock from that and see how long he takes to fall.
My poor arms.
Hey, Mancha! At least you got two of them, eh?
The Herdazian was watching to make sure none of the new recruits somehow wandered over and saw what Kaladin was doing. It shouldn't happen. They were practicing several chasms over, but Kaladin wanted someone on guard.
Eventually they'll all know anyway. Isn't that what I just promised, Syl? That I'll let myself become a Radiant?
Kaladin drew in the chip's stormlight, then infused the light into the stone. He was getting better at that, drawing the stormlight into his hand, then using it like luminescent paint to coat the bottom of the rock. The stormlight soaked into the stone, and when he pressed it against the wall, it stayed there. Smoky tendrils of luminescence rose from the stone.
We probably don't need to make Rock hang from it. If you need a baseline, why not just use how long the stone remains there on its own?
Well, that's less fun, but very well.
Sigzil continued to write numbers on his ledger. That would have made most of the other bridgemen uncomfortable. A man writing was seen as unmasculine, even blasphemous, though Sigzil was only writing glyphs. Today, fortunately, Kaladin had with him Sigzil, Rock, and Lopin, all foreigners from places with different rules. Herdez was Vorin, technically, but they had their own brand of it, and Lopin didn't seem to mind a man writing.
So, storm-blessed leader, you said there was something else you could do, did you not?
Fly!
I can't fly.
Walk on walls!
I tried that. I nearly broke my head from the fall.
Ah, gotcha! No flying or walking on walls? I need to impress the women! I do not think sticking rocks to walls will be enough.
I think anyone would find that impressive. It defies the laws of nature.
You do not know many Herdazian women, do you? Really? I think we should try again on the flying. It would be the best.
There is something more. Not flying, but still useful. I'm not certain I can replicate it. I've never done it consciously.
The shield. On the battlefield, when the Parshendi shot at us, the arrows hit your shield. All the arrows.
Yes.
We should test that. We'll need a bow.
Spring. They pulled the stone against the wall.
What? I don't see them.
Ah. Then they do not wish to be seen.
Rock bowed his head toward them.
Apologies, Mafaliki.
Sigzil frowned, looking closer, holding up a sphere to light the area. Kaladin walked over and joined them. He could make out the tiny purple spren if he looked closely.
They're there, Sig.
Then why can't I see them?
It has to do with my abilities.
But Rock...
I am a Laiku.
Which means...
That I can see this spren and you cannot. It is all right, friend. I do not blame you for being blind. Most lowlanders are. It is the air, you see, makes your brains stop working right.
Sigzil frowned, but wrote down some notes while absently doing something with his fingers.
Keeping track of the seconds?
The rock finally popped off the wall, trailing a few final wisps of stormlight as it hit the ground.
Well over a minute. I counted 87 seconds.
He looked to the rest of them.
We were supposed to be counting?
91 seconds! You're welcome!
Sigzil sat down on a rock, ignoring a few finger bones peeking out of the moss beside him, and made some notations on his ledger. He scowled.
Bah! You look like you have eaten bad eggs. What is problem?
I don't know what I'm doing, Rock. My master taught me to ask questions and find precise answers, but how can I be precise? I would need a clock for the timing, but they are too expensive. Even if we had one, I don't know how to measure stormlight.
With chips. The gemstones are precisely weighed before being encased in glass.
And can they all hold the same amount? We know that uncut gems hold less than cut ones. So, is one that was cut better going to hold more? Plus, stormlight fades from a sphere over time. How many days has it been since that chip was infused? And how much light has it lost since then? Do they all lose the same amount at the same rate? We know too little. I think perhaps I am wasting your time, sir.
Lopin walked up.
It's not a waste. We just need to be testing other things, eh?
Like what?
Well, Gancho, can you stick me to the wall?
I don't know.
Seems like it would be good to know, eh? Shall we try?
Kaladin glanced at Sigzil, who shrugged. Kaladin drew in more stormlight. The raging tempest filled him as if it were battering against his skin, a captive trying to find a way out. He drew the stormlight into his hand and pressed it against the wall, painting the stones with luminescence. He picked up Lopin. The slender man was startlingly easy to lift, particularly with a measure of stormlight still inside Kaladin's veins. He pressed Lopin against the wall. When Kaladin dubiously stepped back, the Herdazian remained there, stuck to the stone by his uniform, which bunched up under his armpits.
It worked!
This thing could be useful. Yes, this is what we need to test. You are a soldier, Kaladin. Can you use this in combat?
Kaladin nodded slowly.
What if enemies ran across a pool of light I put on the floor? Could I stop a wagon from rolling? Stick my spear to an enemy's shield, then yank it from their hands?
How does it feel, Lopin? Does this thing hurt?
Nah, I'm worried my coat will rip or the buttons will snap. Oh, question for you. What did the one-armed Herdazian do to the man who stuck him to the wall?
I don't know.
Nothing! The Herdazian was armless!
Syl had cocked her head, sipping over to Kaladin.
Was that a joke?
Yes. A distinctly bad one.
Don't say that. It's the best one I know. And trust me, I'm an expert on one-armed Herdazian jokes. Lopin, my mother always says, you must learn these to laugh before others do. Then you steal the laughter from them and have it all for yourself. She is a very wise woman. I once brought her the head of a chul.
You... what?
Chul head. Very good to eat.
You are a strange man, Lopin.
No, they really are good. The head, he is best part of Chul.
I will trust you two on that. Marginally.
Kaladin reached up, taking Lopin by the arm as the stormlight holding him in place began to fade. Rock grabbed the man's waist, and they helped him down.
All right. Let's experiment.
Tempest stoked within him. Kaladin dashed across the chasm floor. He leaped over a mound of debris trailing stormlight. He was filled with it, pounding with it. That made it easier to use. It wanted to flow. He pushed it into his spear. Ahead, Lopin, Rock, and Sigzil waited with practice spears. Though Lopin wasn't very good, the missing arm was a huge disadvantage. Rock made up for it. The large Horn-Eater would not fight Parshendi and would not kill, but had agreed to spar today in the name of experimentation. He fought very well, and Sigzil was acceptable with the spear. Together on the battlefield, the three bridgemen might once have given Kaladin trouble. Times changed. Kaladin tossed his spear sideways at Rock, surprising the Horn Eater, who had raised his weapon to block. The Stormlight made Kaladin's spear stick to Rock's, forming a cross. Rock tried to turn his spear around to strike, but in doing so smacked himself on the side with Kaladin's spear. As Lopin's spear struck, Kaladin pushed it down easily with one hand, filling the tip with Stormlight. The weapon hit the pile of refuse and stuck to the wooden bones. Sigsel's weapon came in, missing Kaladin's chest by a wide margin as he stepped aside. Kaladin nudged and infused the weapon with the flat of his hand, shoving it into Lopin's, which he just pulled out of the refuse, plastered with moss and bone. The two spears stuck together. Kaladin slipped between Rock and Sigsel, leaving the three of them in a jumbled mess, off balance and trying to disentangle their weapons. Kaladin smiled grimly, jogging down to the other end of the chasm. He picked up a spear, then turned, dancing from one foot to the other. The Stormlight encouraged him to move. Standing still was practically impossible while holding so much.
Come on, come on.
The three others finally got their weapons apart as the Stormlight ran out. They formed up to face him again. Kaladin dashed forward in the dim light of the chasm. The glow of the smoke rising from him was strong enough to cast shadows that leaped and spun. This time, the three bridgemen set the butts of their spears on the ground as if against a charge. Kaladin smiled, then grabbed the top of his spear. Like theirs, it was a practice one without a real spearhead, and infused it with Stormlight. He slapped it against Rock's, intending to yank it out of the Horn Eater's hands. Rock had other plans and hauled his spear back with a strength that took Kaladin by surprise. He nearly lost his grip. Lopin and Sigsel quickly moved to come at him from either side.
Nice.
Kaladin had taught them formations like that, showing them how to work together on the battlefield. As they drew close, Kaladin let go of his spear and stuck out his leg. The Stormlight flowed out of his bare foot as easily as it did his hands, and he was able to swipe a large glowing arc on the ground. Sigsel stepped in it and tripped, his foot sticking to the light. Kaladin slammed his weight against Lopin, whose strike was off-center. He shoved Lopin against the wall, then pulled back, leaving the Herdasian stuck to the stone, which Kaladin had infused in the heartbeat they'd been pressed together.
Aw, not again!
Sigsel had fallen face first in the water. Kaladin barely had time to smile before he noticed Rock swinging a log at his head. An entire log.
How did Rock lift that thing?
Kaladin threw himself out of the way and scraping his hand as the log crashed against the floor of the chasm. Stormlight passed between his teeth and rose into the air in front of him. He jumped onto Rock's log as the Horn Eater tried to lift it again. Kaladin's landing slammed the wood back against the ground. He leaped toward Rock, and part of him wondered just what he was thinking, getting into a hand-to-hand fight with someone twice his weight. He slammed into the Horn Eater, hurling them both to the ground. They rolled in the moss, Rock twisting to pin Kaladin's arms. The Horn Eater obviously had training as a wrestler. Kaladin poured Stormlight into the ground. It wouldn't affect or hamper him, he'd found. So as they rolled, first Rock's arms stuck to the ground, then his side. The Horn Eater kept fighting to get Kaladin into a hold. He almost had it, till Kaladin pushed with his legs, rolling both of them so Rock's other elbow touched the ground where it stuck. Kaladin tore away, losing most of his remaining Stormlight. He leaned up against the wall, mopping sweat from his face.
Ha! I almost had you! Slippery as a fifth son you are!
Storms, Rock. What I wouldn't do to get you on the battlefield. You are wasted as a cook.
You don't like the food? I will have to try something with more grease. This thing will fit you. Grabbing you was like trying to keep my hands on a live lake fish. One that has been covered in butter.
You're a warrior, Rock. I saw it in Teft, and you can say whatever you want, but I see it in you.
I am wrong son to be soldier. It is a thing of the Tuana Lakina, the fourth son or below. Third son cannot be wasted in battle.
Didn't stop you from throwing a tree at my head.
A small tree, and very hard head.
Kaladin smiled, then reached down, touching the Stormlight infused into the stone beneath Rock. He had never tried to take it back after using it in this way.
Can I?
He closed his eyes and tried.
Yes.
Some of the tempest within him stoked again. When he opened his eyes, Rock was free. Kaladin hadn't been able to take it all back, but some. The rest was evaporating into the air. He took Rock by the hand, helping the larger man to his feet.
That was embarrassing. It's like we're children. The Prime's own eyes have not seen such a shameful show.
I have a very unfair advantage. Years of training as a soldier, a larger build than you. Oh, and the ability to emit stormlight from my fingers. You did well. This is just a test, like you wanted. A more useful type of test.
Sure! Just go ahead and leave the Herdazian stuck to the wall. The view here is wonderful. Oh, and is that slime running down my cheek? A fresh new look for the Lopin, who cannot brush it away because, have I mentioned, his head is stuck to the wall!
You were the one who asked me to stick you to a wall in the first place, Lopin.
My other hand? The one that was cut off long ago, eaten by a fearsome beast? It is making a rude gesture toward you right now. I thought you would wish to know, so that you can prepare to be insulted!
Kaladin let him down.
This thing, it worked well.
Yes.
Though honestly, he probably could have dispatched the three men more easily just by using a spear and the extra speed and strength the Stormlight lent. He didn't know yet whether that was because he was unfamiliar with these new powers, but he did think that forcing himself to use them had put him in some awkward positions.
Familiarity. I need to know these abilities as well as I know my spear. That means practice. Lots of practice.
Unfortunately, the best way to practice was to find someone who matched or bested you in skill, strength, and capacity. Considering what he could do now, that was going to be a tall order. The three others walked over to dig water skins from their packs, and Kaladin noticed a figure standing in the shadows a little ways down the chasm. Kaladin stood up, alarmed, until Teft emerged into the light of their spheres.
I thought you were going to be on watch.
Too busy being stuck to walls. I thought you had a bunch of green vines to train.
Drahi has them in hand. I don't know if the lads told you, Kaladin, but bringing that lot down here broke them out of their shells somehow.
Kaladin nodded.
How did you get to know people so well?
It involves a lot of cutting them apart.
Kaladin looked down at his hand, which he'd scraped while fighting Rock. The scrape was gone, Stormlight having healed the tears in his skin. Teft glanced back at Rock and the other two, who had broken out rations.
You ought to put Rock in charge of the new recruits.
He won't fight.
He just sparred with you, so maybe he will with them. People like him more than me. I'm just going to screw this up.
You'll do a fine job, Teft. I won't have you saying otherwise. We have resources now. No more scripting for every last sphere. You'll train those lads, and you'll do it right.
Yeah.
You saw what I did.
Aye. We'll need to bring down the entire group of 20 if we want to give you a proper challenge.
That, or find another person like myself. Someone to spar with.
Aye.
There were 10 orders of knights, right? Do you know much of the others?
Not much. I know the orders didn't always get along, despite what the official stories say. We'll need to see if we can find someone who knows more than I do. I kept away. And the people I knew who could tell us, they aren't around any longer.
If Teft had been in a dour mood before, this drove him down even further. He looked at the ground. He spoke of his past infrequently, but Kaladin was more and more certain that whoever these people had been, they were dead because of something Teft himself had done.
What would you think if you heard that somebody wanted to refound the Knights Radiant?
You want...
Not me. Dalinar is a Light Eyes. He wouldn't think twice if he were revealing a secret you'd shared with him. What if a king somewhere decided he wanted to gather a group of people and name them Knights Radiant?
I'd call him an idiot. Now, the Radiants weren't what people say. They weren't traitors. They just weren't. But everyone is sure they betrayed us. And you're not going to change minds quickly. Not unless you can surge bind to quiet them. Are you going to do it, lad?
They'd hate me, wouldn't they? For what the old Radiants did... What people think they did.
Aye.
We'll have to be careful about how we do it, then. Go gather the new recruits. They've had enough practice down here for one day.
Teft nodded, then jogged off to do as ordered. Kaladin gathered his spear and the spheres he'd set out to light the sparring, then waved to the other three. They packed up their things and began the hike back out.
So you're going to do it?
Syl landed on his shoulder.
I want to practice more first.
It will be fine, Kaladin.
No, it will be hard. People will hate me, and even if they don't, I'll be set apart from them. Separated. I've accepted that as my lot, though. I'll deal with it.
Even in Bridge 4, Moash was the only one who didn't treat Kaladin like some mythological savior herald. Him and maybe Rock. Still, the other bridgemen hadn't reacted with the fear he'd once worried about. They might idolize him, but they did not isolate him. It was good enough. They reached the rope ladder before Teft and the Green Vines, but there was no reason to wait. Kaladin climbed up out of the muggy chasm onto the plateau just east of the war camps. It felt so strange to be able to carry his spear and money out of the chasm. Indeed, the soldiers guarding the approach to Dalinar's war camp didn't pester him. Instead, they saluted and stood up straight. It was as crisp a salute as he'd ever gotten, as crisp as the ones given to a general.
They seem proud of you. They don't even know you, but they're proud of you.
Their dark eyes. Probably men who were fighting on the tower when Sadeus betrayed them.
Stormblast! Have you heard the news?
Curse the one who told them that nickname.
No, what news?
A hero has come to the Shattered Plain. He's going to meet with Bright Lord Colin, perhaps support him. It's a good sign. Might help calm things down around here.
Rock and Teft walked up.
What's this? Who?
The soldier called a name. Kaladin's heart became ice. He nearly lost his spear from numb fingers, and then he took off running. He dashed through the camp, running toward Dalinar's command complex at its center. He didn't want to believe when he saw the banner hanging in the air above a group of soldiers, probably matched by a much larger group outside the war camp. Kaladin passed them. He finally stumbled to a stop outside the short set of steps into Dalinar's bunkered complex of stone buildings. There, standing in front, the Blackthorn clasped hands with a tall man. Square-faced and dignified, the newcomer wore a pristine uniform. He embraced Dalinar.
Old friend, it's been too long. Too long by far. I'm glad you finally made your way here after years of promises. I heard you've even found yourself a shard blade.
Yes. Taken from an assassin who dared try to kill me on the field of battle.
The blade appeared. Kaladin stared at the silvery weapon. Etched along its length, the blade was shaped to look like flames in motion. And to Kaladin, it seemed that the weapon was stained red.
Dalit, Korib, Rish.
A squad before time from another life. Men Kaladin had loved. He looked up and forced himself to see the face of the newcomer. A man Kaladin hated. Hated beyond any other. A man he had once worshipped.
High Lord Amaram.
The man who had stolen Kaladin's shard blade, branded his forehead, and sold him into slavery.